This is the Four Quarters Podcast, your home court for college hoops and recruiting.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Four Quarters Podcast. I'm Adam Zagoria from Zagsblog.com. As always, joined by my main man and co-host Josh Newman. Josh, Jeff Hornacek is set to be introduced as the Knicks' new head coach. Over under on number of triangle offense questions he will get on Friday.
The over under on number of triangle questions will be less than the number of complaints from reporters that this press conference is taking place on a summer Friday at noon. You can book that.
Yeah, that is a tough time Friday at noon, but that's the Knicks for you. All right, we've made it easier for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. Please make sure to rate and review the channel. We have a big show coming up for you guys today, including Rhode Island coach Dan Hurley, who coached not one but two guys in the NBA Finals, and J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. He also coached against Kyrie Irving at St. Pat's, so he's very familiar with those guys. Then we have Canadian coach Tony McIntyre from the CIA Bounce AAU program is going to talk to us about all things Canada. Then Josh and I will get into some college storylines and recruiting. So we'll start off with our first quarter and Rhode Island coach Dan Hurley. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys.
You know, I'm not sure how many people know this, but you coached not one but two guys playing in the NBA Finals, J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson at St. Benedict's. You also coached against Kyrie Irving when he was at St. Pat's. So three of the guys you have connection to. You know, what's it like for you watching the Cavs in these playoffs, and how much are you looking forward to the finals?
Well, you know, it's funny, too. Kyrie actually came to my incredibly well-attended Dan Hurley basketball camps at St. Benedict's when he was an eighth grader. And I blew it with the evaluation there, you know, because I probably – you know, it could have been, you know, could have got him to enroll at Benedict's, but I completely blew it, you know, at that week at camp when he was an eighth grader. So I kicked myself for that, but, you know, because he kicked my butt his junior year at St. Pat's. But it's cool, man. It's to see those guys out there, you know, J.R., Tristan, you know, Kyrie, you know, guys that played their high school ball in Jersey, you know, two guys that are, you know, from the state, grew up here. You know, it brings back a lot of memories, obviously, a lot of pride in playing a, you know, a small part in their development, you know, at that age. And obviously the NBA is in a great place. You've had an incredibly exciting playoff series, especially in the Western Conference, and probably as highly anticipated NBA Finals as we've had in a long time.
Dan, I didn't really see Kyrie until probably his sophomore year in high school. What are your recollections of him as an eighth grader?
Very little, obviously, because I didn't pay close enough attention, you know, that week at camp in Newark. And then I saw him a couple of years later up at the Pocono camp, you know, that my dad runs every summer, you know, when he was, you know, a sophomore, you know, going into his junior year. And you know, obviously he looked like a, you know, like an elite player, like a guy who had a chance to be a, you know, a pro someday. So he developed quickly, you know, in terms of his game. But he always had an incredibly high IQ as a player, and was always incredibly incredibly skilled.
Dan, let's talk about JR. He was the New Jersey Gatorade Player of the Year at St. Benedict's. He went straight from St. Benedict's to the NBA. Obviously, a year ago in the finals, he had to kind of be the second option behind LeBron. This year they have Kevin Love and Kyrie, so JR is really more of a fourth option. What's your best JR Smith story from St. Benedict's, and you know, how much has he progressed over the years?
I'll give you two quick ones. You know, I go back to primetime shootout his senior year. I think we were playing maybe, you know, Eastern Commerce from Toronto, which historically produced, you know, tons of Division I players, you know, I think Jamal McGlure, you know, amongst them, and we played them in primetime. You know, it was a third quarter. You know, I don't know, JR, you know, did a windmill or hit a, you know, deep NBA step back three. When I took him out of the game, I don't know what he had. He had, you know, low 40s, mid 40s, maybe 45 points, 42 points. You know, but he was actually, he was winning the game when I took him out for good in the third quarter. You know, so he was, I think he might have been beating Eastern Commerce 42-39. you know, I don't know what the total game score was at the point, but he was winning. That's how talented of a shooter scorer he was. You know, and then him with the McDonald's game, you know, he came in probably 5 weeks before the McDonald's All-American game and said, you know, Coach, I want to go to the NBA. I don't want to go to college. I said, okay, here's how we're going to train. You know, so for the next 5 weeks, we met, you know, every day at 5:30 a.m. You know, in the gym at St. Benedict's, and you know, and trained incredibly hard. And 5 weeks later, he was playing at such an incredible level, you know, which obviously led to, you know, getting co-MVP in a McDonald's game, and then going from kind of nowhere to a first-round pick.
And Danny, we can't have you on here talking about the Cavs and the Warriors and the finals without trying to put you on the spot. So with that said, what is your finals prediction?
Man, tough. That's a tough one. It's so exciting. So much at stake. You know, so much you know, at stake for the stars. You know, obviously Steph and LeBron. You know, their legacy. You know, I probably would have to say Golden State. You know, in my mind, in a six or a seven game series, you know, for me, I think I'm gonna go with, you know, obviously the Cavaliers are a little bit fresher team based on the fact that they didn't play as tough a series, you know, but in my mind, Golden State going through that Oklahoma City series and the depths that it took them to reach down deep and win it has to have been battle tested to win the championship.
Just to change topics on you, obviously back down this way, you know, towards home back in Jersey, you were in the news down here when the Rutgers job was open. You were offered the Rutgers job. Obviously, you chose to stay at Rhode Island. Just how close did you come to taking that Rutgers job, Danny?
I mean, listen, I obviously love New Jersey. Spent the first 39 years of my life there. You know, I loved my time at Rutgers as an assistant, 4 years there. You know, it was a real you know, formative time in my training as a coach. I learned a lot about the college game and a lot about the business there. You know, but I'm in a great spot. You know, we've got a great program going here. And obviously in this business, any time you have an opportunity to look at something, that could potentially be great, you have to consider it, you know. But, you know, when push comes to shove right now, you know, this university and the type of the commitment that they've made to me and the program, and just the quality of talent and people that I have on staff and playing for me right now, I would have been a fool to leave this group.
And with that said, I mean, going into last season, there were a lot of expectations on your group. You guys had some key injuries, things did not go according to plan. Now that the group is healthy, there's a lot of hype with the preseason top 25 from all the various outlets putting you in there. Do you think that this new hype going into next season is justified? And does that add any pressure to live up to?
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, if we're healthy last year, you know, I think we would have had the season that people were predicting for us. You know, and you could certainly survive you know, injuries when you get your program to a certain point, you know, which we just weren't ready to absorb last year. You know, and obviously, you know, it's hard enough to recruit player of the year types and first team all conference type of players and potential NBA draft picks. You know, it's hard to recruit guys and develop guys that are that good. And when you lose them, you know, 10 minutes into your season opener, you know, that's going to have a huge, you know, negative impact on your season. But, you know, what that was able to do for us last year was, you know, losing EC and Asan Martin, you know, for most or all the season, you know, it forced guys like Jared Terrell, Jarvis Garrett, you know, Karan Iverson to develop more and quicker and be leaned on more. Nikola Kelly and Christian Thompson, guys that played off the bench for us, were forced into much more significant roles because of those injuries. And you know, I think that's going to, you know, accelerate our progress into next year. So, yeah, listen, I think the ranking stuff is great for us. It's great for our program. And I think that's where we could be, you know, if we stay healthy and, you know, and we do the things, you know, that we need to do in terms of our preparation. We are a legitimate, you know, program that could be a top 15, top 20 team and have an amazing season. And we're not running from that. We're excited about that.
Hey, Dan, it's Adam. Last question, just with EC. How, you know, since he was injured last year, how motivated do you think he is to come out and have a big season this year? And what kind of feedback were you getting from NBA personnel on him before he got hurt?
I mean, people were, you know, looking at him as, you know, obviously a first-round draft pick, a guy that, you know, we were having obviously a large amount of NBA teams, you know, coming through really the last couple of years for EC, especially, and for others as well. You know, he's an incredibly hard worker. You know, he's ahead of schedule with his rehab. You know, we expect him to have a full recovery. You know, and he's very confident, you know, coming back to our program. You know, his, you know, think about, you know, he's returning to play with, you know, guys that are now juniors and seniors, Jarvis Garrett, Jared Terrell, Karan Iverson, Tom Martin, you know, Stan Robinson sitting out as a transfer from Indiana, you know, a great recruiting class coming in, you know, three guys that were in a rotation also returning last year that were freshmen and sophomores. So, you know, he's got confidence in his own recovery, but I think he also has confidence in the quality of talent that's going to be around him. That's going to take a lot of pressure off him returning from this injury. You know, we're not the kind of one-man band that we were, you know, 2 years ago. And I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off him, and, you know, mentally and physically.
All right, my friend, we appreciate your time. We're going to have to get started on the E60 Dan Hurley story pretty soon, the documentary.
I think that's already, you know, underway. It's gotten a lot of intrigue, a lot of interest. I think obviously the ratings for something like that could be absolutely enormous for ESPN. And if they drop the ball and miss on that, you know, I'm sure Fox Sports won't fall asleep and miss it.
Well, or SNY. We're going to have to get it up on SNY.
SNY, you got to talk to
you. Well played. Well played.
Talk about some. I mean, I'd be an interesting guy to have camera follow around. I think you know that more than anyone else.
Yeah, I'm going to get my producer to reach out, and we'll follow up on that. All right. Listen, my friend, appreciate your time, and have a great summer. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon, man. Good talking.
All right, Josh. So, you know, Dan Hurley's got a big finals ahead of him because he coached both Tristan and JR, but he's picking the Warriors. Not too surprising, but you know, it just shows that a lot of talent has come out of New Jersey.
And besides that, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting season for his Rhode Island team. Again, having gone through all the injuries last season, now healthy, they're getting some top 25 love. It's going to be really interesting to see if they can finally put it all together and get Dan Hurley to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it should be exciting to watch them if they're all healthy. All right, we're going to move on now to the second quarter, and our friend Tony McIntyre, he's the director of the CIA Bounce Nike AAU program in Canada. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for giving us a few minutes, Tony. So, you know, there's a lot of different topics we want to hit you with. First of all, the Raptors obviously made a run, you know, in the Eastern Conference semifinals before losing to LeBron and the Cavs, but they made a series out of it. What was the reaction up there in Toronto, especially among the kids, to the Raptors, and what does it show about the hoops culture in Toronto?
Well, I think the reaction obviously was overwhelming. I think, you know, Toronto really embraces its sports teams and especially the Raptors. And I think, you know, we really showed the world that we're a basketball culture up here and support basketball beyond what probably a lot of cities do. I think the city was just going crazy and fell a little bit short, but obviously, you know, we got a lot to build on, and it really helps the culture here in Toronto with the younger kids wanting to play basketball now as well.
And Tony, I think everyone knows, you know, obviously your program and Canada has produced, you know, Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, a lot of talent in recent years. With Jamal going into this draft now, what are you hearing about, you know, where he might be picked, and how do you project him in the NBA? Is he going to be more of a scoring two guard or a point guard or what?
I'm not really hearing where he's going to be picked. I'm still hearing anywhere between 3 and 6. I still think, you know, in the league, I think he's going to be a 1-2. I think he's definitely a capable and competent scorer. But at the same time, I think it's you know, relatively kind of unknown based on what he did at Kentucky of how good of a passer and how good of a point guard he actually is as well. So I think, you know, he's going to be a versatile guy that's going to add a lot to any team that drafts him, and is going to give, you know, the capable and competent scorer, but also a distributor that guys are going to want to play with.
Tony, just to change topics on you here, your CIA Bounce team has qualified for the Nike Peach Jam. You guys are loaded with talent per usual. One guy in particular I want to touch on, Simi Shitu. He's a sophomore forward, plays down in Florida at Montverde Academy. For the people that are unfamiliar with him still, Tony, just what is his upside, and can you give us just, you know, the latest on his recruitment right now?
His recruitment's really taken off. I mean, he's got a ton of offers from, you know, high major programs, and he's really, since Christmas, kind of turned the corner in terms of his recruiting. And he's an athletic, super freak athlete that, you know, runs the floor, finishes at crazy angles, and just has a knack for finding a way to get the ball in the bucket at 6'10". You know, he can shoot it. He could do a little bit of everything. I think he's probably one of the next guys up in our program that really got a great shot at being a great pro.
He's a 2018 kid. Has reclassifying been brought up with him at all?
No, not right now. He's 2018. We want to stay there. We want to play out his high school career, and I think he's got an opportunity to do some crazy stuff in this game of basketball. His talent level is just ridiculous.
Well said. This is obviously a big summer for Canada, more specifically the Canadian national team. They will go into Olympic qualifying in early July, looking for a spot in Rio. One thing with Canada is obviously they have this growing stable of young talent, guys like Andrew Wiggins, Tristan Thompson, Corey Joseph, Jamal Murray, Tyler Ennis, obviously. There could be a conflict with some of the young guys like Murray, guys like Tyler, where they're going to have to maybe play in NBA Summer League as opposed to playing for the national team. Has there been any indication as to whether or not the young guys will be able to play for Canada and not be tied down to the NBA teams?
I know I could speak specifically on Tyler is that he will play for Canada, and that's been discussed with his NBA team. And a lot of the other guys, you know, Legion is to play for Canada. You know, some of the older guys, I think the better question is going to be the ones that are free agents, whether or not they're going to play. So I think that's really going to be the determining factor for Canada basketball going into this summer is who's playing, who's not, who's a free agent, who's not. And I think the younger guys do want to be involved in it. Jamal Murray, I think there'd probably be a question mark there because I'm sure whoever he's drafted by is probably going to want him at Summer League. So I think, you know, he will probably be there. But I think the rest of the guys are kind of all in on trying to make this thing work.
And one of those guys who played for Canada last summer at the FIBA Americas is Anthony Bennett. He was a former number one pick. You know, things have not panned out as people had hoped in terms of his NBA career. He was at a Nets free agent camp recently. Have you heard anything in NBA circles recently about Anthony?
I haven't, and I've been really just focused on Anthony and making sure that, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to, and he's working out hard, and, you know, he's dedicated to, you know, getting picked up by an NBA team, and I think he's definitely on the right track to get back into the NBA and make a splash. I think, you know, he just needs opportunity. He needs the right environment. He needs the right coaching, and he's going to be back fine, no problems.
Hey, Tony, it's Adam again. Just some last couple questions on recruiting. With Simi, specifically, what schools have called you most recently to offer him or touch base? And also, can you give an update on Christian David and what schools have reached out on him?
Yeah, Christian David obviously was injured in the last high school game this year, hasn't been able to play with us, but, you know, we really obviously miss him, and, you know, we're hoping that he has a speedy recovery. He's looking to be back in September. But he his recruiting is kind of all over right now. He's a high major guy, obviously been recruited by Villanova, Oregon, Seton Hall, Creighton, a lot of Big East interest. and he's going to be a special player when it's all said and done. And he gets to college, he can shoot it, he can put the ball on the floor, he's versatile, he's got great size. I think he's going to be definitely a guy that even increases his recruiting going into this coming season.
I'm sorry, that was Simi?
Simi, like I said, is all over the board. It's kind of gone from, Oregon to Syracuse to Arizona to Illinois. Everyone's calling, everyone's interested, everyone's offering, and we really haven't looked at it. Simi's just really focused on, finishing up this year and is going to train hard during this summer to, try to even improve on some of the things that he's seen through the UIBL season. So I think that's really more where he's focused right now because of, being in 2018, he's got so much time and so much is going to change. We haven't really focused on it heavily.
All right, Tony, we appreciate a few minutes of your time, and I'm sure I'll see you at the Peach Jam in another month or so.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Tony, take care. Good luck.
All right, take it easy.
Josh, I know you're always fascinated by the inner workings of the Canadian national team, so we got a little news there with Tony saying he expects most of the young guys, except Jamal Murray, to play this summer. So, that, I guess, would include Wiggins, Tristan Thompson, guys like that, plus Tyler Ennis.
Well, Tristan Thompson is a little older and beyond needing to play summer league. So Tristan Thompson, as long as he was under contract, he was going to be in, which was the problem last year. Wiggins, I'm a little surprised that the Wolves are going to just let him play. Jamal Murray, that was always the assumption that whoever drafted him was going to ask him to play summer league and does not want him to play for the national team. At the end of the day, if Canada can get the bulk of its young core together for qualifying, they're going to have a good chance.
All right, we're going to move on now to the third quarter. Josh and I are going to cover some college storylines. Let's start off with a huge story yesterday, Josh, breaking that Rashid Jordan, former St. John's guard, was arrested in North Philadelphia on attempted murder and robbery charges. Sounds like he and some of his buddies were trying to sell a cell phone and it went wrong, and Rashid, shot someone. What's your take on this, and how tragic of a situation is this?
If you've been paying attention to St. John's and and you've been covering this stuff like we have, it's unfortunate to say this, but we're probably not surprised that something bad happened. But attempted murder, shooting somebody, that's probably next level craziness from what any of us would, expect or ever thought could happen. Rashid Jordan is a supremely talented basketball player. He was a top 30 recruit coming out of high school, top 5 point guard nationally. And, he showed flashes at St. John's under Steve Lavin, but he was this enigmatic kid who just never quite put it all together under Lavin. And, people can blame Lavin. Some people think that Lavin and the staff really tried to help the kid, which is probably true. Some people think that Lavin let this kid run roughshod, going back to Philadelphia whenever he wanted. At the end of the day, this is not Steve Lavin's fault. This is on the kid. At the end of the day, this is all on Rashid Jordan.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, at one point he was being touted as an NBA prospect, and that's obviously, that never materialized even before this. And it's actually the second story of this sort this week, because we had Zach Brown, 7-foot kid who had at one time had committed to UConn, was arrested for armed robbery in Florida and is now behind bars, awaiting a situation there. So, that situation is also sad and tragic. And I think Zach Brown, needs some help in his life in a variety of areas. But it just goes to show that, the road and the choices you make in life sometimes between possibly being a professional basketball player and making one mistake that can alter the course of your life is, it's not very far apart sometimes.
The game, the game at this level is just littered with what ifs, and Zach Brown and Rashid Jordan, it's just the two latest. It really is very sad. Rick Pitino, Louisville head coach, he addressed the media this week for the first time since the 2016 season ended, touched on a bunch of different topics. The Cardinals and Indiana are going to start a 3-year series beginning on New Year's Eve at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on New Year's Eve. Time is to be determined. Pitino also said that the latest installment of Louisville, Kentucky will take place on December 21st. He gave a little bit of an update on the NCAA situation. Your thoughts on what Rick Pitino said this week?
Well, you know, I think fans of down there in that area always love to see, you know, Indiana, Kentucky, and Louisville all play each other. You know, all three teams should be good, especially Kentucky's got a loaded class. Indiana got Thomas Bryant back, and you know, so they should be good again. And you know, with the NCAA stuff, you know, he keeps saying that he thinks it's over, but you know, until we hear from the NCAA, we don't really know. Louisville tried to get ahead of things by self-imposing a postseason ban. That was unfortunate for those kids that were there. Now they have, you know, a new year where they're hoping, obviously, to go to the tournament. So we'll just have to wait and see. But something tells me that situation is not, you know, we haven't heard the last of that deal. You know, the other big story in college hoops, obviously, Josh Malik Newman pulls out of the NBA draft, goes back to college, but now he's going to transfer. His father told me about a week ago that he didn't like the way Ben Hallam was using Malik Newman and that he had him spotting up in the corner to shoot a lot and that Malik needed the ball in his hands. Now he's been linked to both Kansas and NC State, although his father, Horatio Webster, told me yesterday no visit dates have been set up. NC State was in on Malik Newman early before he chose Mississippi State, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're in the mix again. Kansas is also in the mix for Derek Thornton, the Duke transfer. So, you know, be kind of interesting. You wouldn't imagine they could take both of those guys because one of them will be the starting point guard after next season.
The takeaway for me here is, excuse me, the takeaway for me here is that mock drafts, when they're done 18 months, 2 years in advance, I love them, you love them, I will continue to write about and read them. Ultimately, they're kind of useless because when Malik Newman was a senior in high school, he was the projected number four pick in this year's draft, which is taking place in 2 weeks. And now he's in a situation where he's transferring. If he had stayed in this draft, which was originally a possibility, he would have been a second-round pick, you know, scrounging for the guaranteed money, looking to make a roster. Maybe you know, this fresh start, transfer, sit a year, get yourself together, play well next year, and maybe he's a lottery pick again. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a lot of speculation that both Malik Newman and Ben Simmons made mistakes by going to Mississippi State and LSU. Neither guy made the NCAA tournament. Both were linked to other programs like Kansas and Kentucky or whatever. And it, as we've discussed before, it does just kind of fuel the idea that players like this maybe in the future will just stay with the Blue Bloods and not really branch out.
I can promise you in 3 weeks that Ben Simmons is not going to care one iota that he didn't make the NCAA tournament.
All right, we're going to move on now to the fourth and final quarter and talk a little recruiting. Josh, it is now June 2nd, and Torian Thompson and Jarrett Allen are still uncommitted. I'm actually going to see Torian Thompson hopefully tonight at the Frankie Williams Classic in Greenburg, New York, where he'll be playing with Raleigh Alkins and Jordan Tucker and some other guys, and I'll certainly ask him about it. But, you know, what do you make of this deal?
You know, that national letter of intent signing date came and gone. They can still sign scholarship papers. This can drag out all summer, this month, next month. I don't know. Nobody really seems to know anything, especially about Torian Thompson. His mother seems to be in charge of the whole thing, hasn't given many quotes recently. You tell me.
Well, hopefully we'll get some answers tonight when I talk to him.
There's, again, one of my favorite topics every year, package deals. Wendell Carter and Gary Trent Jr., along with Muhammad Bamba, and then you have Trey Young and Michael Porter Jr. talking package deal. What's the latest here, Adam?
Well, we had my man Jack Le Guin down at the Nike EYBL event in Atlanta. He talked to all those guys. Wendell Carter said he and Gary Trent are definitely going to college together. Everyone thinks it's Duke. Muhammad Bamba has also spoken about playing together with Wendell Carter, possibly at Duke. So, you know, Duke could really be loaded again, assuming, you know, if they lose Harry Giles and Jason Tatum as one and dones, looks like they could just reload here with possibly two or three of these guys. Trey Young and Michael Porter Jr. have also talked about a package, although Michael Porter Sr. was hired now as a Washington assistant, and everybody thinks Michael Porter Jr. is going to go there. Trey Young could be, you know, more of like a Kentucky type of kid or another program down in the South, so it seems less likely that they will go together than those other guys. On another topic, Josh, the Ranney School has these two 2019 stars, Brian Antoine and Scotty Lewis. I spoke to their coach, Brian Klatsky, yesterday. It's very interesting. These guys are going to take a bunch of unofficials in the next couple of days and weeks to some camps, Florida, Villanova, St. John's, Maryland. But Klatsky said that St. John's and Georgetown are working the hardest. You know, these kids are still rising sophomores, so there's a long way to go. And you would imagine all the blue bloods will probably eventually get involved. But it's a good job by Matt Abdelmassa at St. John's and Anthony Solomon, who was at Notre Dame and now at Georgetown, getting in there early.
Yeah, the Ranney School's down here by me, down the Jersey Shore. I went down there, you know, two or three times during the winter to see Antoine and Lewis play. They're just two athletic freaks, especially Scotty Lewis, who's, you know, just an athletic phenomenon dating back to, you know, when he was in like the seventh grade. I don't know, you know, as you said, it's very early. All the blue bloods are going to show up before this is done. And, you know, trying to predict where these two might go this early, that's just going to be a fruitless exercise for anyone who tries to do it. Jose Alvarado, Adam, Christ the King, 2017 point guard. His recruitment is now starting to pick up steam as we head towards the next evaluation period. I know that you had something recently on Zag's blog. What's the latest?
Yeah, Jose Alvarado plays for Christ the King. I talked to Joe Arbatello, and Jack also spoke to Jose. Sounds like Rutgers, Seton Hall, and Butler really working hard for him. I know, you know, Rutgers is looking to add some younger guys now, 2017 guys under Steve Peichel. Seton Hall obviously will need a point guard going forward. Indiana and Oklahoma State also involved there, but it'll be interesting to watch this recruitment. He, of course, played with Raleigh Alkins at Christ the King before Raleigh left, and now Jose is kind of the face of Christ the King, one of the top programs in New York City, so that'll be fun to watch. All right, we are done for the day. Remember to check out zagsblog.com for stories on the NBA draft and recruiting. Once again, there's a new way for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. Make sure to rate and review the channel. Also, please follow me and Josh on Twitter at Adam Zagoria and at Joshua_Newman. Thanks for listening and subscribing. We are out.
This has been the Four Quarters Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.